How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Hey, everybody, this is Matthew Soltysiak, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast, part of the Minute Media Podcast Network. This season, it's all grit. I speak with a variety of guests and interview key players, gaining more insight on what makes this team go. The Detroit Lions are now in a new, grittier era, and we look beyond just the kneecaps when it comes to the analysis. Welcome to another episode. In this episode, we do something different. We take a look at fantasy football and discuss the Lions players to consider when creating your fantasy football team. We'll also talk about where you should consider drafting them, when to avoid making that pick, and what to expect from each player. We'll also look at the top players at each position as well throughout the NFL. Let's get to it, Lions fans.
This is James Williams, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast.
Okay, for this episode, I needed to bring in some help. My fantasy football days are now in the past, retiring a few years back. And so while I have some knowledge, my knowledge might be a little bit more on the archaic side. But joining me are two guys who are actively involved in the game. First, we have a very familiar character in James Cook, the senior sports writer for the Traverse City Record Eagle. You can also hear him on the Get Around podcast. That drops on Mondays. James, good to have you here.
Thanks for having me, man. Always happy to talk about fantasy football. That is like one of my favorite subjects to talk about.
Awesome. James, give the listeners real quick a short biography or autobiography in this case about your fantasy football background.
I usually play in about 8 to 10 leagues a year. So that just, if that just tells you that I like doing it on a large scale. Usually not a lot of big money leagues or anything like that. I think the biggest money league I'm in is like $50. I mean, like a couple of $50 leagues and a few $20 leagues and a bunch that are just for the heck of it.
Okay, sounds good. And we're also joined today by Chris Haynes, a friend of the podcast. In addition to being an avid Detroit Lions fan and University of Michigan fan, he also dives extensively into fantasy football, which is perfect for this episode. And if you tuned in last year, you heard him and me banter quite a bit about fantasy football. Chris, thanks for coming back for a second run at this.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Matt. I'm looking forward to talking about fantasy football. It's that time of year, so looking forward. I've got my draft coming up this weekend. Had to do it a little bit earlier than we wanted to, but it's all right. It's a good time for guys to get together, and we do a live draft and eat lots of good food and talk a little smack to each other. So,
awesome. And tell the listeners a little bit about your fantasy football background. How long have you been doing it? How active are you into the game?
So I've been active for a long time now. I've been playing since I was in high school. I remember going to my math class and getting my homework done and then going to check my fantasy football lineup back in the days of Dante Culpepper and Sean Alexander. So I've been playing for a long time. I've cut back the number of leagues I'm in just because I like to be able to focus on, you know, one or two of the most important ones. And I have my main league that I'm a commissioner for that I call my league of record. So the one that I care about the most, and that's been going on 12, 13 years now.
All right. Thank you guys both for your introductions and for being here. Let's get started with this. Now we're going to talk about this as though we are in a 10 or 12 person team league. That way you guys will have an idea for that. Kind of figuring out it's going to be a one quarterback, two running back, three receiver with a flex. And obviously when we talk about these things, guys, you can add addendums to it. You can say, well, this is what I would do. But if you're going to be in this type of league, I would maybe adjust it like this. And of course, we're going to put it in a PPR league format as well. So assume all those things. Let us start with what used to be the goal, the bread and butter of fantasy football leagues, which was the running backs. Now, I know things have changed a bit, and you guys are going to educate us about that. And again, we're going to focus on the Detroit Lions players. That's going to be the big focus. And we'll talk about maybe the top guys in the NFL as well and how you might compare some of these Lions to those. And so, guys, let me start with the running backs. The top two running backs for the Detroit Lions are David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. Now, Fantasy Pros has Jahmyr Gibbs ranked number 6 overall as a tier 2 guy, and David Montgomery as 17th overall in a tier 4. And I think I looked at these guys in a standard format, not the PPR. I know it's going to adjust and raise Gibbs up a little bit. And also, I need to give Chris a little credit for last year, because he said that Gibbs was getting drafted too early last year and David Montgomery was going later. And so based on that information, he thought Montgomery was the better value. And considering they put up rather similar numbers last year, Chris, you turned out to be right on that one. So I want to give some great credit for pointing that out. That might be a case again this year. I'm not sure. Let's get started with that right now. David Montgomery versus Jahmyr Gibbs, knowing Jahmyr Gibbs is likely going to get drafted earlier. Who would you rather draft? Do you like drafting Gibbs at that spot? Chris, we'll start with you, and then we'll go to you, James.
So for me, you're looking at getting Gibbs probably at the back end of the first round. Home leagues, especially Lions fans, are going to draft him earlier. I'm picking 7 this year, and I highly doubt that I'll even get a chance to draft Gibbs. So if he's even there, depending on who else is there, I'm not sure if I'm willing to take the risk on him at this point, just because you don't want your first round pick to be a bust. And not saying that Jahmyr Gibbs is going to bust, but you know, there's that chance that he gets injured, and I can't have my first overall pick in the or I can't have my first round pick be someone that's going to be hurt for a percentage of the games. If I look a little bit later at David Montgomery, that's a good value I have for him, I believe, because even though after the bye and after they both got back and healthy, Jahmyr Gibbs was splitting more of a 50-50 role and getting some more of those carries inside the 5-yard line, I still see David Montgomery going to be that bell cow inside the goal line, unless they're going to come in with some exotic type of package where they're going to move Gibbs around.
All right, James, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think pretty similar. I mean, Montgomery will be a better bargain than Gibbs in drafts this year, and I think they can put up roughly about the same stats, similar to what they did last year. So, I mean, that's why I'm not drafting Gibbs, probably, just because, like Chris said, you know, he is a little bit banged up. It was in the offseason, so there's some concern that maybe he's going to be a little slower to start, which is very much like last season. And so I think that by the end of the season, it may be the exact same timeshare as it was last year. And you can get Montgomery in the 3rd, 4th, 5th round, depending on how many teams are in your league, all that kind of stuff. So I think it's very much the same as last year, where Gibbs is being taken too high and Montgomery's value.
Do you think that you might see Gibbs' value as somebody who has him on the roster actually outperform Montgomery based on the PPR?
You know, if he stays healthy, then yeah, I think on a game-to-game basis, he's got a better chance of outperforming him, especially if they're starting to look to split him out wide in the slot and kind of utilize his skill set as a receiver more. But with Montgomery, the way I look at it is, you know, depending on your team, if you want someone that's going to be more stable and more durable and someone that's going to give you maybe 10 to 15 points a week, touchdown dependent, of course, Montgomery could be a solid baseline, like RB2, RB3 for your team. So that way you can go for a different kind of approach in the first round or even the second round by not taking Gibbs, maybe going with up one of the top receivers that are there, or possibly one of the tier two running backs that you might see.
I think it's pretty similar to last year. Yeah. And if you go into the season with David Montgomery as your second or third running back, I think you'll be pretty happy. And like Chris said, I think it'd be more consistent. Gibbs will be a little more up and down. You may get those big games from him that may win you a week, but you also may get some weeks where he doesn't do much. And Montgomery, I think, is going to have that more consistent role every week, you know, and he was kind of underutilized last year in the passing game. You know, he's a good pass catching running back, and the Lions really didn't use him that much last year. I think in part because they trusted him under pass protection more than Gibbs, but you know, so that may even out a little bit more this year as well. I mean, if they're both sitting there, yeah, you take Jahmyr Gibbs because his ceiling is higher than Montgomery's. Montgomery's going to be Mr. Consistency. Jahmyr Gibbs is Mr. Home Run. You know, so if the two of them are both sitting there in the third round, everybody in your league is dumb and you should take Jahmyr Gibbs. But that's not going to happen for pretty much anybody. But, you know, that's just kind of the way I see it. I still believe in drafting running backs, you know, fairly high, you know, not taking running backs the first three rounds like it used to be in the old days and everything. But I also think that the zero RB strategy got overused and a lot of people got burnt by it because they were just punting positions. And you can't do that. You got to get some kind of production out of every position in your roster to win games consistently.
That makes a lot of sense. And again, what I think I hear you guys saying is they're both great running backs, but you're thinking you could attack a different position in the first round and then get the other Lions running back in like the third or fourth round. And therefore your team's going to be a little bit more balanced. And so I think that makes a lot of sense if you want to go that strategy and you can still get a really good running back out of David Montgomery without having to pay as high of a premium as you would for Jahmyr Gibbs and target another player at a different position, potentially a teammate of one of these guys. And we'll get to that in a minute. But before we get to that, I want to stay with Lions running backs for just another minute here. And that is there another Lions running back that you would take? Is there a third guy to consider? Would a Craig Reynolds or a Sione Vaki be worth taking in one of the very last rounds? Probably considered as a handcuff if you have one of these guys, or is that just too valuable of a roster spot to take on such a far reach like that? Because you're only holding them in case of injury. James?
Yeah, I would say only if you have a very deep roster, or maybe kind of a best ball format where one of those guys could be a handcuff to one of those guys. You know, I see Vaki having a role on this team. I mean, in the preseason game, he looked pretty darn good. And I think he's going to get some work on special teams as a returner at some point as well. But I think he has some value. I think he's going to surpass Craig Reynolds on the depth chart ultimately this season. So he would be the one if you're gonna target one of those guys with like your last round draft pick or something, or you have a very, very deep league.
Hey, Chris, how about you?
Yeah, like James said, it would have to be a really, really deep league, something maybe like a dynasty league format or something like that, where you have just a huge bench and a taxi squad or something like that. But I can't see myself taking the third running back or fourth running back on a team, especially when the top two, you know, they're not going to crack in over those two unless there's an injury. So usually later on in drafts, if you have like a 6 or 7 person bench, there are other running back twos on a team that you'll still see there that could have some upside if they got a chance.
Is Vaki worth a waiver claim during the season should one of the top two guys get injured?
I would have to see more in the preseason from him and kind of see how they would utilize him, but most likely you wouldn't get the chance because whoever in your league that is running back that's really needing a running back at that point is going to put a claim on them. And that's going to assume that the Lions are still going to deploy two running backs if one of those two goes down. We've kind of seen in the past where, you know, when Gibbs went down, Montgomery was still the bell cow. And you saw a splash of Craig Reynolds in here and there, but it wasn't much to be fantasy relevant unless there was a blowout. So
the future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month?
They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
All right. The next thing I want to move on to before we leave running backs is I want to know, we know Jahmyr Gibbs is the top Lions running back. How many running backs do you guys have above Jahmyr Gibbs in the NFL? And who are your like top two or three running backs that you're drafting? James, let's start with you on this one.
Well, obviously Christian McCaffrey's number one. I would go, I think I'm an outlier, and I would go Bijan Robinson number two over Breece Hall in the, just the injury concern with Breece Hall, and that he has several capable running backs behind him that could also whittle away some carries here or there. And I could see them managing his workload this season too, because of that injury concern. And then, you know, Jonathan Taylor would be probably one of my next guys. One guy that I am not a believer in this year is Saquon Barkley. And that's probably not pretty common among people, but because everybody looks at the Eagles and says, oh, well, he's going to a team with a great offensive line. He was with a horrible offensive line last year, still a 1,000-yard runner, all that. But if you look at the Eagles offense a little more in depth, you notice that they don't throw the ball to the running back. That's one of his strengths. It's going to be even worse this year with Kellen Moore as his offensive coordinator, who made Austin Eckler worthless last season, being his coordinator in San Diego. And so I just and they also just like to use more than one running back. Plus, he's old and has had injury concerns. So I'm really not all that interested with drafting him where he's going to have to be drafted.
Okay. And Chris, same question for you. Top two or three running backs in the NFL you've got listed, and how many guys do you have ahead of Jahmyr Gibbs?
Yeah, I mean, CMC is the number one choice, obviously, has produced and been solid since he's gotten over to San Francisco. And I mean, he had a streak of what, 20, almost 20 touchdowns or something like that in a row, or games with a touchdown in a row. I agree with James on Saquon, you know, not to mention, you know, just the change of offensive coordinator, but also losing Jason Kelce. I mean, that he was an anchor of their offensive line, and that's a huge, huge hole that they're going to be missing there. Now, that also might mean, I got to say the flip side of it, that might mean that they might not do the tush push inside the goal line or right outside the goal line. Instead, they might hand it off to Saquon Moore. But I'm thinking that, you know, teams might be scheming differently for it too. So there is a world where Saquon could come out and score a bunch of touchdowns, but like James said, he won't be as involved in the pass game like he was with the Giants. And they have capable running backs behind him. You know, Kenneth Gainwell got quite a few carries last year, and was the presumed starter to start the year until he got hurt and DeAndre Swift came in and had a pretty, you know, average season, if that. But I like Breece Hall. The worry I have with Breece Hall is obviously the injury, but also, what does Aaron Rodgers have left in the tank? Is the offense going to be able to move the ball as consistent as they did before? And we'll see if he likes passing to him out of the backfield. So, you know, Breece Hall lived and died last year on PPR points, where he might have 5-6 catches for, you know, 20 yards, or he was trying to break a long run every single game, and his yards per carry were really low until he finally broke one. So I agree. I'd have Bijan number two. Breece Hall would probably be down more in my 5-6 range, behind Gibbs. I like guys like Pacheco, who doesn't have any competition really behind him. I mean, they got Clyde Edwards-Helaire that they pretty much have thrown to the curb. You know, the last few games of the season plus the postseason, he was just a dominator. He got touchdowns inside the 10 zone. They used him in the passing game, and he just kind of grinded things out. And then the wild card in Devon Achane, if he can stay healthy, I mean, he's lightning in a bottle. He could have a 40, 50 point game and then come back and have a 10 point game. They've also been kind of doing what they're doing with Gibbs, where they're splitting him out more, playing him in the slot. So I'm interested to see what they do to kind of release him out there as a second year player. So I could see him being one of the top three, depending on if he stays healthy or not.
Okay. Well, that's a lot of information on running backs. Thank you, guys. Okay, this isn't good. We just got news that Jahmyr Gibbs was hurt in practice.
Hamstring.
Yeah. Hamstring injury at today's practice.
Does this change anything you've said? Does this impact your strategy? Because I know you both said you would pass on him and wait. Does this cause him to fall? In just a few short words, James, we'll start with you, then Chris.
Depends on how far he falls, how serious it turns out to be and how far he falls. If he falls in like the late second round, yeah, I'd take him. But for the most part in the second round, I'm probably taking wide receivers just because, you know, depending on where I'm going to take pick in the first round, I'm probably going to try to find my anchor running back in the first round because everybody else is taking wide receiver. And then I'll get a very good wide receiver in round two. There's a bunch of sleepers at wide receiver later in the draft. So if he's there in round two, maybe, but and most likely if I've already taken my anchor running back, probably still not going to take him.
All right. And Chris, again, in just a few short words, what are your thoughts?
Yeah. And if this winds up being somewhat serious, I'm probably going to be totally out on him. I don't like running backs having hamstring issues. They're just likely to re-injure them. They need their hamstrings in order to make explosive cuts. And that's what makes Gibbs really good. So my guess is if it is something serious, Detroit will be smart with them. They'll take their time with them and he'll sit out 3 or 4 weeks probably if it's anything serious. So I'd be out on him.
All right. Well, that'll be something interesting to monitor. And it could also inadvertently push David Montgomery a little higher up some of those boards. So keep an eye on that. Let's move over to quarterback. And remember, we're going to talk Jared Goff. Remember, fantasy, football, and real life are different when it comes to this conversation. The Lions' run game helps them run in quite a few touchdowns. So that's going to hurt Jared Goff's fantasy value. He's also not known to be the most mobile quarterback, so that is a detriment to his fantasy football game when you can rush for touchdowns and get up a good chunk of running yards. Now, let's just look at this. First off, Fantasy Pros has Jared Goff ranked as the 14th best quarterback is what I saw. Where does he rank for each of you guys just overall on the quarterback thing? James, we'll start with you.
For me, he's probably somewhere in the 15 to 20 range. Just in fantasy, in NFL terms, he's obviously, I think, higher than that. But the Lions run the ball so much. And when they get the ball inside the 10-yard line, they really like to run the ball a lot. I think his touchdown upside is a little limited. He's going to throw for a decent amount of yards just because of all the weapons that they have. So he's a perfect backup quarterback to have on your team. Somebody that you know, when your starter's on bye week or if you get somebody that's hurt for a week or two, you got somebody that you can put in and give you, 12, 15, 18 points, depending on your scoring system.
All right. And Chris, how about you?
Yeah, I'd say same thing. Somewhere around, 19, 20. The reason why he's so low. Yeah, he won't have as many touchdowns as some of the top guys, but also he's not a mobile quarterback. He's just a guy that's going to stay in the pocket. And with fantasy football the way it is, running backs and quarterbacks and wide receivers, they all get the same amount of points for one single rushing yard. So mobile quarterbacks, that even though they might not be as good of a quarterback, they're still going to score more than Jared Goff just because they have that chance of that rushing upside. And then also if you're in a 4-point passing touchdown lead in the league where they go in and they have twice as many rushing touchdowns as they could have passing touchdowns, like we see with Jalen Hurts, they're going to score more points just because it's a 6-point league for rushing touchdowns.
All right. So based on those numbers, obviously the obvious thing is neither of you would draft him to be your starting quarterback. Cause if you're in a 10 or a 12 team league, that's 10 or 12 quarterbacks. That's your starting lineup. James did mention he wouldn't be a bad guy to have as maybe your backup. Or maybe if you're in a 2 quarterback league, are either you guys thinking that's a guy you wouldn't mind targeting as your backup? Or is that a guy that, hey, if he happens to be there when you're looking for a backup, you'll take him? What are your thoughts? Chris, let's start with you on this.
Yeah, so it kind of depends on how the top end of your draft goes. If you are a person that likes to draft one of the top tier quarterbacks and spend one of those picks on it, then you're not going to look to get Jared Goff as a backup. Now, however, if you're one of those that likes to do a late round quarterback and take a chance on someone, when I'm looking at my draft, I'm looking at someone maybe like Kyler Murray or even Jaden Daniels, someone that is unproven but has that mobile rushing upside. And maybe I'm going to take Jared Goff and start him the first week or two and see what happens with Jaden Daniels and kind of wait and see, especially because Goff has got a pretty decent schedule to start. He's at home against the Rams. So another kind of revenge game there. He played well the last time that they played the Rams in the playoffs. They also play at Arizona week three, Seattle on Monday Night Football. Those are three or four games there that they could easily put up the decent line that you would want for a quarterback, which is somewhere around 250, 300 yards and two touchdowns.
All right, James, how about you?
Yeah. I mean, he's somebody that is, I think that if you're in a two quarterback league or a super flex league, he would be a great guy to have as your third running back or third quarterback. Because in those leagues, the top quarterbacks tend to go earlier. You draft quarterbacks earlier. So hopefully you get two in front of him. And if you have him as your third, you should be pretty happy with that. Otherwise, yeah. Like he said, if you're waiting on quarterbacks, quite a while, you tend to go with upside guys. Or somebody who had a down season last year that you're hoping for a bounce back, like a Trevor Lawrence, Deshaun Watson type of player. So to me, Goff is like that consistent quarterback that for, I don't know, 8 or 10 years you could get in Kirk Cousins as a fantasy quarterback, where he's great to have as a backup quarterback just because he's dependable and usually pretty durable. So he's not bad to have on the back end of your roster.
All right. Now, you guys both can correct me if I'm wrong on this one, but I'm presuming, and I haven't done a ton of research, but I'm thinking Patrick Mahomes is the number one overall quarterback. It could be Lamar Jackson. Those are like the guys that come to mind for me without doing too much research. But here's what I want from you guys. Tell me who are the top two quarterbacks on your board in the NFL, and who's your sleeper pick, a guy that you're like, hey, if you want to take that risk on a guy who you think could have a lot of upside and doesn't have to be a rookie, but it could be a rookie. James, let's start with you on this.
My top two quarterbacks are Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts. Just because, like Chris said, the rushing upside, they score a lot of touchdowns, they run the ball a lot, and that separates them from the pocket passers.
Well, Patrick, you can tell Mahomes, I didn't do my research on that one when I said two other quarterbacks, they weren't even yours. So nice.
A couple years ago, you would have said Patrick Mahomes for sure. But he doesn't have the weapons that he used to have at wide receiver. He doesn't have a Tyreek Hill, and now he's got, Hollywood Brown has an injury that's probably going to cost him at least a month. So, and if Rashee Rice gets suspended, that receiving room is a dumpster fire.
Well, who's your sleeper, James?
If you're going to wait on a quarterback, like I said, go for upside. Like Chris mentioned, Jaden Daniels. You've got Caleb Williams could be somebody who could be a real dart throw as somebody who, after you get a quarterback, you could maybe draft him as a second one. If you waited on somebody and drafted like a Jordan Love, Brock Purdy, whatever is your starting quarterback. If I wait and get one of those consistent guys at the back end of the QB1 things, I always shoot for a high upside number two guy. Not Mr. Consistent. If you draft a quarterback early, I'm drafting more of a consistent guy as your backup. But I could see Trevor Lawrence having a bounce back season. Deshaun Watson's got decent weapons. I like Kyler Murray, like Chris said. He's got all kinds of weapons now in Arizona and looked pretty solid after he came back last season.
Okay, Chris, how about you? Who are your top two guys? And then who's your sleeper, a guy that you might be targeting late?
Yeah, I think my number one is, I like Josh Allen, but he's lost so many targets in that offense, losing Stephon Diggs, losing Gabe Davis. Now he's got probably Curtis Samuel is probably his number one right now, who's a little bit older. He knows the offense. He's come over with this offensive coordinator and they know, he knows the system. However, like you're depending on him, Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman is a rookie. So really in order for him to still stay as that number one, I think Dalton Kincaid's got to take a step forward. They got to utilize James Cook in the in the backfield as a receiver rather than just a running back, which when they made the offensive coordinator change last year, they switched over and James Cook was solid. They actually did start passing to him out of the backfield and he dominated. He was a top five running back for the last 5 or 6 weeks of the season. So if that offensive system stays the same, Josh Allen doesn't have a lot of wiggle room to be that number one quarterback. He's going to have to be hyper efficient. And with targets that are with receivers that are unproven, I don't know if he can reach that. So I would have him more like a 3 or 4. I kind of believe in Jalen Hurts this year. I think with that offense being a little bit better with a more solid run game, I'm hoping they use Saquon, but I mean, they've got two of probably the top 12, 15 receivers in the league, and AJ Brown and Devontae Smith. So I would say Jalen's probably my number one. And then it's kind of a crapshoot after that. Does Mahomes do better this year? Does he bounce back? I don't know. Lamar has that rushing upside. He could enter that conversation as one of the top two or three guys too.
All right. Well, let's move the conversation over to pass catching, and we'll start with the tight end position. Now, we're obviously going to talk about Sam Laporta. He did what nobody really expected last year, made a huge impact as a rookie tight end when we talked about him last year. Chris, you're like, rookie tight ends don't really do this. No. And I can't even say I would have done that, you know, taking him. I did a little research here, and I could not believe that he is ranked as the top tight end on Fantasy Pros from what I saw. And I mean, no disservice to him, to Laporta, but heck, Madden, EA Sports has given him no respect and no love. So I figured fantasy football might not either. But I guess here's the questions. A, do you guys both agree with that? You know, he's over Kelsey and Kittle, and I know, you know, Kelsey and Kittle have their things going on, but Kittle could have a bounce back if he stays healthy. Do you have him ranked at number one? And two, is he is he worth the premium? And even if he is, three, is that your strategy? You go to a different route than that. So James, let's start with you.
I think it's kind of like the Jahmyr Gibbs thing, where it's like where he's being taken, I'm probably not going to take him. I don't know that I would rank him as the number one tight end behind overhead of Kelsey. Yeah, I think that's just kind of wishful thinking and people that have hoped that Kelsey, you know, that predicted Kelsey's going to hit this cliff and fall off. And they've been saying that for a couple years and it hasn't happened. So you got to wait for it to happen, I think, before you start predicting and giving that number one spot away. So I would just stay away from both of them where they're going, which is basically late round two, early round three, depending on whether you're in a 10, 12, or 14 team league. And if you want to get a great tight end, I'd say Mark Andrews a couple of rounds later is going to be probably almost as productive. I think with the weapons that Detroit has, there's going to be some stat regression with Laporta from last year. You know, the rate at which he caught touchdowns is almost unsustainable. He's still a very good tight end, as we know. But I just don't think that the stats will be quite the same this year as they were last year, especially if we get the breakout from Jameson Williams that everybody's hoping for.
Okay, Chris, how about you?
Yeah, I totally agree with James on that one. I know we're not disagreeing much here, but I can't see myself spending that high draft capital on what they call a onesie position, where you're only starting one of those players, where you're going to start two running backs and two or three right wide receivers and then a flex position as well. So spending that high draft capital on Laporta or on Kelsey, you know, Kelsey's a little bit of a discount compared to what he has been in the past, where he was going in the first, you know, end of the first round, early second round. But, you know, I look at Laporta and like James said, like stat regressions, you know, it's probably going to happen. You know, if I look back last year, he had 10 touchdowns on 83 receptions. That is just crazy efficiency in terms of touchdowns. That's something that, you know, maybe he can repeat it, but it's highly unlikely you're going to repeat that. If he gets somewhere between 7 and 8 touchdowns and has a few more receptions, possibly then you might see him in the top 2 or 3. But I like some of these younger guys. Mark Andrews has always been a favorite of mine, but he can't stay healthy, it seems. You might see someone like Dalton Kincaid or Trey McBride. Those are two guys to kind of look out for, and they're a little bit cheaper, a little bit more affordable, and they have that higher upside, I think. Maybe not number one overall, but they're at that price point where they're going to be a top five, and you don't have to spend that higher draft capital. Full PPR, guy I always liked is Evan Engram as well. He's got a good rapport with Trevor Lawrence. You see Trevor Lawrence has lost some targets because some of the receivers have left. Evan Engram's still there and Christian Kirk's still there. So those are the two kind of consistent targets that he has. So I don't see him taking a step back. I only see him either staying, you know, in the top five or possibly pushing for that number two to number three spot.
All right, James, Chris shares some of his sleepers or late round guys he might consider as an alternative to Sam Laporta if you don't want to draft a tight end early. Is there someone that you would consider?
One guy that I would look at that's rated in the list that I have, and that's ESPN's PPR leagues right in front of me, is TJ Hockenson. He's 12th. You know, he's gonna miss probably the first month of the season. But if you draft him and then turn around and draft somebody else, you know, you can get him fairly late. And another guy that I like who you can probably draft even later than Hockenson is Brock Bowers. You know, they don't have a lot of good wide receivers after Davante Adams in Oakland, and they're going to have to throw the ball to somebody. They used him a lot in their first preseason game, and they moved him all over. So he's somebody who I could see having that season from a tight end that, I'm trying to remember the guy who was for the Raiders, then he went to the Giants a year or two ago, just
Waller.
Retired.
Darren Waller.
He had like that 1 year, and then every fantasy manager chased that one great year that he had that he never duplicated. But I could see Brock Bowers doing something like that.
Okay. High draft capital on him too, especially after, you know, our drafting Michael Mayer the year before. And like James said, they put him in the slot. They put him out wide in the first preseason game. Stats weren't there, but I mean, it's first preseason game, doesn't really matter. And kind of to double up on that TJ Hockenson decision there too, you know, especially if we know ahead of time he's going to be out, maybe he sees the pup, or maybe, you know, we see him, you know, missing 3-4 games. That's a guy that you put on the end of your bench, you pick him in the last round, throw him on the IR spot, and then now you get a chance to pick up somebody else that you maybe missed out on, or you see in your, you know, preseason week three, or there's an injury or something, and you could pick up a waiver wire spot. So,
all right,
so it's good to take someone that is on the IR and put, or someone that you could put in your IR spot and draft them, and then now you have a free spot.
Yeah, that's a nice idea there. And I like that perspective you both have on TJ Hockenson as a value. Now, guys, if Sam Laporta was to miss any game action, whether it be a game, two games, three games, Brock Wright's the number two tight end on the Lions depth chart. Is that a guy you would choose to grab to start in place of Laporta if you have Laporta, or even if you're a team that doesn't have a tight end and you're just looking for a, you know, doing that weekly, you know, put a guy in, play in the waivers thing? Is that a guy you'd consider? Chris, let's start with you.
I would look at him in terms of that streaming category. It would have to be a really good matchup, someone that's very vulnerable against tight end, for me to put Brock right in there. Just because when you're playing that streaming matchup, type of play, you could usually find a really good matchup against a bottom five tight end defense, streaming, where you're looking to get a touchdown and maybe a couple catches for 30 yards. You know, you want that 10 point baseline if you can get it out of your tight end, especially if you don't have one of those top premium tight ends.
That makes sense. James, how about you?
Yeah, I probably wouldn't, unless, like he said, it's a, you know, premium matchup. You know, like the last couple of years, Arizona's been horrible, you know, covering opposing tight ends, and they've, like, their defense against tight ends has been the worst in the league. So if they're playing Arizona that week, but or something like that, as far as you're going to be streaming tight ends. Otherwise, I think you would just be just looking at the matchups and looking to see what other guys are available. Some guys way down the list that would still be maybe on your free agent wire, like maybe Isaiah Likely or Greg Dulcich, who I think looks like he's going to be the number one guy in Denver. And, you know, in most of the mock drafts that I've done, he doesn't even get picked. You know, so he'll be there on the waiver wire.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Well, let's move on from the tight end position and move to our last category, which is wide receiver. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Fantasy Pros has him listed at, I believe, number 5. That puts him at the top of tier number 2. He might even move up a spot higher or something like that if you put him in with the PPR stuff. So let's start with that. Do you like St. Brown there in the top 5? And let's just start with that. James?
Yeah, most of the drafts that I've done, most of the mock drafts, I've gotten stuck with the end of the first round, which is where people are saying they don't like being picking this year. But it's right in that tier where Amon-Ra St. Brown is a guy that you can pick in the first round and feel confident about because he's durable and just completely productive every week and puts up points almost every week. So I would be happy if you're sitting there at the end of the first round with taking Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Chris, how about you?
I totally agree. He's a guy that, like James said, he's consistent. He's durable. He was one of the most consistent wide receivers last year. And I believe in PPR formats, he didn't have a game below 18 points in full PPR last year, which is huge. Because you look at some of the other top guys where they'll have a duck game because they get game scripted out or they just don't have that that solid game. He's not going to have as many boom weeks as you might see with like CeeDee Lamb or Tyreek Hill or something like that. But he's going to give you that solid floor and that great starting position every single week with that's that guaranteed 15 to 20 points. And that's what I would love to do with my first round pick and then go for more of those high flyers or those high scoring upside guys in my second, third, and fourth round.
Interesting. Now I had a conversation with a friend and we looked at, you know, according to Fantasy Pros, if you go to PPR, CeeDee Lamb is 1, Tyreek Hill is number 2, Ja'Marr Chase is 3, St. Brown is 4, Justin Jefferson is 5. And my friend's got the number 1 overall pick. And he says, CeeDee Lamb's holding out. So I don't know about that. Tyreek Hill, you know, that could be a really good guy to take right there. Ja'Marr Chase, well, you've got injuries with Burrow and whatnot. And obviously Burrow's back. Justin Jefferson's got a new quarterback. And so for him, his strategy is he doesn't want somebody that's going to flop. He wants to take a safe pick, a productive pick. And he thinks Amon-Ra St. Brown checks all those boxes. So here's my question for you guys. Who is your top 1 or 2 receivers? And is St. Brown worthy of taking that if you want to take that type of a strategy? James, I'll start with you.
As far as being the number 1 receiver, I would say no. Just because, like Chris said, you want that guy who can have a game where he has 200 yards and 3 touchdowns. And that's generally not Amon-Ra's MO. He's a guy who's going to have 10 catches for 90 to 100, 110 yards and a touchdown pretty regularly. So, I mean, it would be pretty much that same list that you had there. I mean, it would start with Lamb, Hill, Chase, and then, you know, I think Justin Jefferson and St. Brown are pretty much in a tie. And I would also put AJ Brown into that category, maybe right behind those two.
That makes a lot of sense. I remember the first time Tyreek Hill scored 30 points for me in a game on a Monday night, and I thought I had lost, and that brought me back to win it. So I know what you mean about that high ceiling that a guy like Tyreek Hill can bring. Chris, how about you? What are your thoughts on the top few?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the CeeDee Lamb holdout, who knows what's going to happen with that? I'd never like seeing anybody hold out because they're not getting those practice reps, and then they're more likely to have a slower start, and then the injury chance increases as well. So if he comes back, they can find a deal within the next week, then he would still be my number 1. Otherwise, I'd probably slide him down past Tyreek Hill and Ja'Marr Chase. Still probably ahead of him, St. Brown, just because CeeDee Lamb does have that upside where he can win you a week. And they really don't have a great receiving core other than him. You look at Michael Gallup retired. They've got Brandon Cooks still. Is probably their number 2, but really their number 2 is probably Jake Ferguson in the red zone. He have more targets in the red zone than any other tight end. So I could see him kind of duplicating what he did last year. He had 181 targets. That's well within the possibility with that offense, with the way that they like to throw the ball. They kind of abandoned the run last year. So I can see them just throwing inside the red zone instead of grinding it out with a very old Zeke. I like Justin Jefferson, and he could be higher. He could be the number one overall, depending on their quarterback situation. However, looking at their schedule to start the year, they've got four really tough matchups. We will see, but he's just one of those unknowns in the first round that he could hit, and he could be a huge steal if he's going like in the 5-6 spot, and could have that number one overall upside.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, Justin Jefferson with a new quarterback, a lot of question marks, but he did pretty well without Kirk Cousins last year. And I heard you both say Amon-Ra St. Brown is a guy you would take late in the first round. He's a high-end guy. So that is exciting, encouraging, makes a lot of sense for me. Let's go to the other wide receiver for the Detroit Lions, who's getting a lot of press, a lot of interest, and that is Jameson Williams. Now, if you did a fantasy draft like a week or two ago, you probably got a pretty darn good value on him. If you're outside the state of Michigan, probably a pretty good value. But this guy is starting to get the national buzz that everyone in Michigan has already kind of been feeling. Jameson Williams has that high upside, right? And he's a guy that's been going late. He's listed at number 46 overall. He's considered a tier 6 receiver. James, let's start with you. Do you think, first off, just answer this short part here. Is number 46 overall at a tier 6 an appropriate thing for him? Or is that low in your opinion?
I'm looking at the sheet that I have from ESPN and PPR. They have him at 57, even lower. I think he's one of those guys that could be a value for you. And he's one of those guys who is on my kind of list of sleepers. Especially if you're drafting in a league where it's not people who are all local, if you're just kind of in one of those random leagues that's on Yahoo or something like that, where you don't know anybody. I think he can be one of those guys that you draft as your sixth receiver, and by the end of the year, he's your third or fourth if he has the season that people hope for.
That makes a lot of sense. And yeah, in a PPR league, I can see him being lower just because he's not expected to get as many targets, though I actually think he'll have more targets and more receptions this coming year than Josh Reynolds did last year. So I think you're going to see a big uptick in that. Chris, how about you? Being ranked at 46 or 57, do you think that is the appropriate spot for him to be listed at?
I think right now it is. I mean, we've heard the Jameson Williams buzz before going into last year, and it just didn't really pan out. He's a guy that I would love to have on my team. It depends on where he's going in my draft. He's one of those guys that you hope that, that can make that year three leap, that year three jump, and become that solid second receiver. But there's a lot of mouths to feed in that offense. Looking at just overall, you've got St. Brown, Gibbs, Montgomery and Laporta all in the top 50 in PPR point or PPR projections. That's kind of unheard of unless, you're back with the Greatest Show on Turf back in the day. But it's very possible that he can jump into that wide receiver three category. I don't see him going much higher than that unless he just has an abundance of touchdowns just because of the lack of targets that he gets in the offense. He'd have to maintain, 8 to 10 targets a week and, end the season with 7 or 8 touchdowns to jump into the, top 24, top 36.
That makes sense. So let me ask you this, Chris, if you had Jameson Williams on your roster, is he likely a number 3 receiver for you in fantasy football?
Most likely, he's going to be probably a 4 or 5 for me. I like to have a couple solid, good, solid running backs and a couple running backs with upside. And then I like to really sprinkle in some solid receivers that are going to get targets in those middle rounds. And generally I go late round tight end as well. So I can see him being my wide receiver 4 or 5. Most likely in my home league, he'll probably go in the 10th, 11th, 12th round, depending on who wants to make that reach for him. Typically because quarterbacks don't go off the board that quick and no one takes a second quarterback and those types of things. So he's going to have to show a little bit more in the preseason in the workouts and everything for him to jump up the draft board, I think. But my guess is I could probably snag him in probably the 10th or 11th round and he could be my 4th or 5th wide receiver. And I'd be happy with that.
All right, James, how about you? What are your thoughts? Where would you take him? Would he be your 3? Would he fall further? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I would say optimally 5th or 6th receiver. You know, if you can get him like in the 12th round, you know, you've probably only taken one tight end, one quarterback, and 2 or 3, you know, running backs. So you're probably a little more receiver heavy, just being how that position's a deeper position than running back in general. So, but if you get him as your 5th or 6th wide receiver, he's one of those. He's a perfect player to have on your bench because in a week where you have bye weeks or you have injuries, he's somebody who you can stick in there. And he's totally capable of having a big game, you know, one quick pass and he takes 70 yards to the house and you're in the money.
Awesome. Well, guys, thank you so much. I'm going through down the Lions roster, running backs, quarterback, tight end, wide receivers. Before we get out of here, I just want to ask, and you know, is there a strategy you have? Is there a little insight? Is there a little thing that, you know, you think you know well about fantasy football that you could just say, hey, maybe consider this strategy if a lot of people in your league are doing something different? Chris, let's start with you. Is there one strategy? And let's hope, you know, none of the people in your league are listening to this, because then they could, you know,
let's hope that they're all listening to this podcast because they need to listen to the podcast. But I'll give kind of some general advice. I won't give any draft tips in this. It's mostly just the overall fantasy football league is that you don't win your draft or you don't win your league at the draft. You have to be a good manager throughout the year. You have to put in those waiver claims, do your research, look ahead in order to have a good fantasy football season. I've walked away with teams. I'm like, not really that happy with this, but then, you know, the in-season management, you know, a couple trades and you wind up having a lot better team. I walked away having a team on paper that I'm like, man, this is the best team ever. And then, you know, your first overall pick gets hurt and you took a chance on the Denver Broncos with Russell Wilson and, you know, their team sucked. So you went all in on Broncos and then you wound up taking last, which is something I wound up doing. But, you know, you've got to have good in-season management and you don't win your league at the draft. So that's kind of my biggest piece of advice.
Awesome. Chris, thanks so much for sharing all that.
No problem.
James, how about you? What's a piece of advice or strategy you like?
Well, a couple of things that I usually do during the draft is that if you're going to wait on quarterback, don't wait on tight end or vice versa. Don't wait on both of those positions. Get one of them solidified early, because if you get caught in a run on those positions and now you have two positions that are a waistline on your roster, you're pretty well screwed. So you've got to solidify one of those somewhat early, at least. And then one thing I do is say your draft is 16 rounds long. Everybody drafts their kicker in the 16th round and their defense in the, you know, 15th round. Go up one round on those and get the best kicker and get the best defense. If that's the way your league usually goes, where everybody waits until the end, you know, get the best one. And that guy that you would have taken in the 14th or 13th round in that situation, pretty decent chance he's going to be there in the 17th or that last round, because everybody's taking kickers and defense.
Awesome. Thank you, James.
Yeah, I would say you don't even draft a kicker. that's a strategy I've done in the past.
Yeah.
Don't draft one, put another guy on your bench. Maybe a guy like TJ Hockenson, like we talked about, throw him on the IR spot and then wait to the morning of and see what the wind conditions are and see who ate a good breakfast that morning and see you pick your kicker for the day.
Which I love. And Yahoo gives me a D usually because they do it on your your total points that they project. And since you have a zero kicker, they give you a horrible grade. And whenever I get a D from Yahoo, I always have a good season.
Yep.
Well, folks, that is our fantasy football episode. Best of luck to you and the team you assemble, and may the odds be ever in your favor. James, thank you so much for joining us and sharing all these insights and all your expertise.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Chris, same goes to you. Thank you so much for taking the time and sharing all of this.
Yeah, appreciate being on the episode.
And I wish both of you guys lots of luck in your leagues this year as well. And folks, thank you so much for tuning in. You can find more episodes and content at notthesameoldlions.com. If you're listening on YouTube, please hit that like button. And while you're at it, tell your friends about the show and please subscribe regardless of your listening platform. Until next time, stay gritty, my friends.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month?
They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster.
That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.